welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast. We are here with Carson Wood and a guest, Danilo Lopez.
Oh, baby.
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
We were teasing you getting on this thing forever. We don't have Justin on this week. He is flying. Smitty is flying himself and his wife to Cuba to go meet Yoel Romero, which is not true. He is in Cuba, but
that
he's
really cool. Got me excited, but true. So thank you for that.
So you are a long time listener. You've been listening since day one. Big fan.
Day one for sure. Yeah.
So we just go over like just a few things this week. There's always, honestly, like there's not a ton in MMA in general. I mean, we did have a card this weekend, which we all definitely watched and enjoyed every punch thrown. But we want to get to know Danny a little bit. Danilo, got some chops in MMA. Biggest one right off the bat, you're Brazilian.
That's the biggest one for sure.
What's some of your background like in MMA? Like what kind of got you going watching MMA, and then also because you have done some training, correct?
Yes. So my dad, he's always been really interested in martial arts in general. He came from that original UFC fan base, mm-hmm. where they watched, you know, the first UFCs. But also, even before that, he comes from the generation that, like, Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris and, yeah, Chuck Norris. We just brought up Chuck Norris here. So he comes from a martial arts background, and then he, in Brazil, started doing Taekwondo with some grandmaster something out there, and was super interested in that, but he always also wanted to do some grappling. So he did Aikido and then a little bit of it's called Kyukido, which is basically a little bit of everything. Ended up out here in Utah and got his black belt in Taekwondo.
So you said that he was kind of in the original UFC, because you always talk about Pride. Was he actually more Pride, or was he more UFC?
Well, first started out watching UFC, and then UFC kind of got not super interesting. I don't know if you remember that time. So we started watching a lot of Pride. And back then, my dad was actually training a guy to compete here in Utah. And so we were always watching Pride, and we're watching Vanderlei Silva at his prime. We're Brazilian, so Brazilians are prideful. That's definitely one thing that we have in common. And coming from the UFC, we had the Gracies. Gracies were killing it, doing really good. And then all of a sudden, the Gracies weren't doing so hot when they went to Japan. So what got me super interested was actually, in MMA in general, was coming and watching Pride. Watching the Kazushi Sakuraba fight with Vanderlei Silva. That was the first time I saw Sakuraba getting demolished and by a Brazilian. So we redeemed our pride then. So
I was actually going to get into that a little bit later. We might as well just get into it now. So because I've talked about it a lot. Brazil and Ireland have made me just nationalistic. I'll just follow I'm just going to follow Americans now. Like what in particular in Brazil, like what makes you guys just back your guy no matter what? Because like the UFC's talked about, in general, like they don't generally, when they're in Brazil, they don't put Brazilians against each other because Brazilians hate it.
Yeah.
Because you're living in America now. You love it. You told me.
I do. I love it. It's great here.
And, but like, what is it like just about Brazil that like, because America, it's like we back champions. We don't really care what nationality. Like, at the end of the day, we don't care if they snort cocaine and punch people outside of the ring. Like, as long as we got a champion, people. We love them. Yeah. Case in point, John Jones. Like, what makes you guys, no matter what, just back your guys?
I think it goes back to what are Americans really proud of nowadays? It's you know, the military. Americans are super patriotic. We 4th of July is crazy out here. A lot of people don't even know when Independence Day is in Brazil. I do. It's September 7th, I believe. It might.
I
be
think that translates.
Mayo,
that translates to March 24th here in the U.S. Right? Is the same. It's a different date, right? Oh, is the same September
it's
same everywhere?
The same thing, yeah.
Sweet. September 7th. I didn't know. Is that, and that's from Portugal? Is that independence from Portugal or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Portugal.
Because I didn't know how that got.
Spaniards didn't come out.
Well, I was saying I didn't know if it was like because they got everything divided up everywhere all over the world once they found out the New World. I knew that they obviously gave Portugal originally.
Yeah, we had some tough Indians.
Because we had, like, French through here. We had Spaniards through here. And it originally was the English, obviously. I just didn't know if the Portuguese stayed out there or if it was multiple hands that it passed through.
I mean, I think the Spaniards tried to go out there. But the Indians actually, from what I know, and I don't know a lot about history because there's another chat about our educational system in Brazil. But supposedly they just weren't able to conquer it either. They didn't have enough people out here. But the Indians, they actually liked the Portuguese because they came out with they were giving them presents. They talk about it in one of the Fast and the Furious. They were giving the Indians presents. Once they got their trust, then they're like, screw you, Indians, we're taking your land.
That old bag happened everywhere.
Yeah.
No, but I figured it was Portugal. I just didn't know if you guys actually did win your independence from Portugal. Because literally here, it could have been anybody. It just so happened it was the English just because they stayed the longest.
They were first or something like that.
Well, I mean, the French, too. The French were – that's why we got Canada's French, down south, tons of French. Anyways, so you were saying you guys back your guy because it stems from patriotism.
Yeah, the patriotism. There's not a lot of things that we're super proud of in Brazil. If you look at the whole scene right now, there's a lot of corruption going on. You would think that – the president that comes next, the person who was impeached, people would just love them, but he's looking at getting impeached as well. So there's not a lot of great things that, you know, we have the Amazon, but we're destroying that out there. And, you know, there's not a lot of things to be proud of, but there are two things that we're always proud of. Two of the bigger things that we're proud of is soccer. And then of course, MMA, because jiu-jitsu started there.
It started there.
Well, so jiu-jitsu started from Japan.
I was going to say, is it?
But Brazilian jiu-jitsu obviously came from Brazil, the Gracies. So Helio Gracie started that.
And so that's not – because I understood that Brazilian jiu-jitsu back their guy pretty much in everything. It's mostly just soccer and MMA.
Well, volleyball. The sports we know we're good at, we're going to back on. Yeah, that's realistically
that's fair. No, yeah. We only care – like, we don't even care about the individuals winning the sports here. Like, all we care is the medal count. Like, we don't even care who the individual is, which it seems like you guys really do. Like, who is your favorite fighter of all time?
That's a hard one. Vanderlei Silva, definitely on my top three list. Shogun Hua, of course. It's between Shogun Hua, Anderson Silva, and Vanderlei Silva. Those are my top three, which all stem from Shootbox Academy, which is great.
Who's your favorite current fighter?
Ooh, current fighter. Shogun still fights, but I'm not going to call him a current fighter because
he's ranked top, what, seven right now? Isn't he seventh?
Definitely not in his prime.
Okay, fair.
I'll say that. I love Anderson Silva, definitely not in his prime either. Vanderlei Silva, far from his prime. And far from steroids, he can't get to where he was at. So, no hope there. I would say Jose Aldo, for sure.
He was my favorite. His was fall from grace after the whole Connor thing.
Yeah, that was so disappointing.
Well, not even that. It was like everything leading up to that. Like, I was just, and then it was Frankie. Frankie's my favorite now. But
Frankie's good.
And then also, I told you that the whole nationalistic thing. Now I only back Americans. That's all I care. No, that's not true. Anyways, as far as, I mean, we went over a couple things. Current favorite fighter, who your favorite fighters have been through history. Do you have, like, one event that stands out in your mind? Because mine, honestly, apart from just the Frankie Edgar trilogy with Gray Maynard, probably my favorite moment is the Chad Mendes knockout with Aldo. Like, him running into the crowd is, there's nothing else that really comes to mind as far as, like, imagery. But is there, like, a moment in UFC history that, like, is your favorite or, like, a card in general?
I have a few, actually. One of my favorite actually isn't from UFC. It's from Pride. So, I explained, the Sakuraba and Vanderlei Silva fight, that's so memorable to me. That was an awesome fight.
I think you're the first one that showed me that. It was one of the Saturday, like, work days, I think. I don't think I ever actually watched that fight until we started pulling it up on Fight Pass.
Yeah, I might have showed you. That was a good fight. It was actually a good fight. Sakuraba had a knockdown on that, but I didn't see that. I just saw the destruction of Sakuraba. but the other fight that I really liked, it was kind of a workup to the fight. I don't know if you remember Ninja Hua. That's Shogun's brother. He fought Rampage Jackson in Pride, mm-hmm. and both of them were in their prime, murdering it. They were both doing amazing. And Ninja, in my opinion, destroyed Rampage. He did some work on Rampage. And Rampage is a big, he's a light heavyweight, but in Pride he was a middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
And Ninja was a tiny middleweight. He mm-hmm. had to actually get fat in order to get to that weight class. So he fought Rampage, and in my opinion, beat Rampage. And in most people's opinion, he beat Rampage, but ended up losing the fight in the decision. So Shogun was in the crowd, and he was really frustrated. He was crying, actually. And Ninja was crying, and they were really frustrated. And so Shogun calls out Rampage Jackson and says, "We're fighting. So we're fighting next."
Back in the day when you did that and it happened?
Yeah, and it actually happened. It wasn't, you know, this Mayweather-McGregor talk or, you know.
Really anybody these
anybody days. Anybody nowadays. So what ended up happening was they actually did fight, and Shogun annihilated Rampage. Just destroyed him. Left no question. Knocked him out. I think it was either the first or the second round he ended up knocking him out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Rampage just fell in the corner and pretty much gave up. So the trilogy, that I mean, between Rampage and Wanderlei Silva, too, to me, those are three amazing fights. The third one not being my favorite, but... Were there three or were there four fights, actually?
No, I think there was only three. I don't know of any, like... I don't know how to say quadrilogy. I don't think if that's an actual... I don't even know if that's a thing. And I don't know any fighters that fought four times. I think it's only ever been trilogy.
Hmm.
I don't know. I can't think of anything I'd want to see four times except...
Yeah. Aldo and Edgar might be coming up.
Is that going to be four?
I guess that's third.
I was going to say, I think. I'm into that fight. Again, that's like one of them that I would like to play back. Even if Aldo wins, like, I don't care if Aldo beats him again. Yeah. I just... If he beats Holloway, obviously, like, Edgar, after what he did to Yair Rodriguez, I just don't know if there's anybody that can really take out. He's too fast, and he's too smart and technical. Like, he's just, like, his footwork's too good. Like, I'll just take him down and just beat him into hematoma. But who's your favorite fighter apart from Brazilians?
Apart from Brazilians... Oh, that's hard.
Doesn't have to be Americans. It can be GSP. I don't even care.
Oh, no, it's not GSP for sure. Actually, that's one of the reasons why I was watching more Pride than I did even UFC was because of GSP.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did not like his style of fighting. Mm-hmm. A lot of clinching, a lot of I'll take you down and, you know, slap you in the face and hopefully that I win by points. I hated the win by points system, and that's why I missed Pride. But fighters that aren't Brazilian that I really like, man, that's difficult. There's a lot of really good American fighters. I love Frankie Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Edgar is an animal, and I really like watching him. BJ Penn used to be my favorite lightweight. Probably, and I would say back in his prime, he would be my favorite lightweight of all time.
Even over Frankie?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. His jiu-jitsu and his boxing was just... In his prime, again, he was just incredible. His problem was, one, I think his work ethic kind of sucked. He would eat hot dogs and drink beers and be excited about that and talk about that after his fight. So that's one thing I didn't like about him. I love watching Nick Diaz, actually. Nick Diaz. Oh, way more than I like watching Nate Diaz, by the way.
See, and I like Nate more than I like Nick, and I don't like either of them, like, that much in the cage. I do, obviously, but I like them more outside of the cage than anything. I just, like, when I heard that him and Conor were going to go up against each other when they put that together, like, I got super excited. Not for necessarily the fight, but just because I wanted just to, exactly what we got when they put the whole press conference in Nate's gym and just let him go at it. My favorite thing in the world. I watch that all day, but obviously, technically, he's also super good, but I actually like him watching him more than I like watching Nick. Because I feel like, well... Me and Jeff were watching this earlier, yesterday, or Sunday. I do love Nick's omoplata that he did.
He's nasty.
Dude, you don't see him very often.
Nick Diaz is nasty, jiu-jitsu fighter. He's so good.
You know what somebody posted, what was it? It was today, actually, on Reddit, is the toe omoplata, the toe hold omoplata mm-hmm. that Frank Mir did on Tank Abbott. Do you remember that?
I've seen that, yeah. I think I watched that. not too long ago.
I had completely forgot about it. That's nuts. Like,
yeah, Frank Mir has probably one of the best jiu-jitsu, you know, teams or whatever whoever he trains with. And just his discipline in jiu-jitsu is just incredible.
Do you think...
Like the him and... Did you watch the him and Big Nog? Him and Big Nog fight?
Well, that's what I showed. That's what I showed Jeff is when he broke his arm.
Oh, man. That was so disappointing.
That
was a problem with our pride there, Brazilian pride. So, because Big Nog had that fight won.
But you got to... I mean, to a certain extent, you got to give it... I mean, it makes me cringe just because it's like, just tap, man. But at the same time, it's got to give you like a certain sense of pride. Like, he did not tap. Well, it was just broken.
My thing, when I say the pride factor was what made him lose, was if you remember that fight, he tagged him. Mm-hmm. So Big Nog tagged
Frank
Mir.
But he wanted to submit him.
And, yeah. And Frank Mir was out of it. So if he'd thrown a couple more punches, I thought the coach would or the ref would have stopped that fight. But instead, he wanted to say that his jiu-jitsu was superior. So he wanted to submit him, and that didn't work out.
I've wondered about this for a while. Who do you think is the best black belt in heavyweights? I feel like it's either Frank Mir or Verdum.
Verdum, for sure. 100%.
I don't know, man.
Superior black belt, for sure, I'd say Verdum.
For MMA, not necessarily, because obviously he's more decorated. But, like, as far as for MMA goes.
I would still say Verdum.
Verdum?
Yeah. I think Frank Mir had a really good heavyweight. Like, I don't know how long he was.
Just of black belts, though, like, who is Verdum submitted? Because Frank Mir's got Nogueira on his...
Verdum has Nogueira. I don't know if he tapped him. I think he tapped him out, yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up.
In Brazil, too.
You guys, how would that... were you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, Big Nog's a bigger name for sure in Brazil.
I love Verdum, by the way. I think he's awesome.
I love both of them. I learned to love Verdum because I did not like Verdum when he was in Pride. Even in Strikeforce, I didn't like watching him. He would try to pull the guard too much, and he didn't do it in a tactical way. Like if you watch Damian, he didn't do it like Damian Maia did. So,
that kind of segues into the next thing I was going to ask you about. Cause you do one, you want to train, and two, you have trained. What disciplines have you trained? Like, did you train in Brazil or just out here?
I've trained in Brazil and here in the US. So I started off here in the US with a Brazilian. So my dad, So I did Taekwondo. I did that for a while. I could have become a black belt, but my dad always said he set his standards instead of the academies that he's worked for. So I'm a blue belt in Taekwondo. The only reason I stopped was because my dad, he hurt his knee in a fight, and he won that fight, by the way, for the record. But he ended up tearing his ACL and his meniscus, so ended up he quit fighting. So he couldn't teach us anymore. He started back up again in Brazil, but his knee was giving him too many problems. He's had 3 surgeries now overall, so he's definitely – he can't fight anymore.
What's your favorite to do? Because I know you want to do jiu-jitsu right now. But.
So I love Taekwondo. Taekwondo was awesome. I did jiu-jitsu. I did jiu-jitsu in Brazil with the same team that Aldo – is it? So Nova União in Brazil. Kimura is what we call that team. Or it's more recognized as the Kimura team. Kimura's like the bad boys, the bad guys in Brazil, and then
they're Cobra Kai.
Basically, yeah. Gracie Baja is like you're rich, so you go to them. They're the really well known. Of course, everyone knows Gracie Baja, but and then there's another big one out there. And I can't remember the name, so it obviously wasn't that big. But I trained with Kimura. I trained with a guy named, his name was Comic. That was his nickname. I don't even know his real name.
Was he funny?
No, he wasn't funny.
Fair.
They called him Comic, more of like a comic book, because he was tatted from his toes to his head. It's funny because in Brazil, everyone has a nickname. Like everyone, especially in jiu-jitsu.
What was yours?
That's what I'm getting to, yeah.
Ooh.
So I'm blonde, right? Blue eyes. So I'm assuming I'm gonna get something weird, like a German, something like racist, probably like Hitler or something. And I didn't when I came in. I had pretty long hair, but it was always messy because I was rolling. And they put my nickname as Tafarel. No one will know that. He is He was the goalie for Brazil in 1994 when we won the World Cup.
I'm looking him up right now.
I don't look like him.
Why they call you that, then?
Don't, or listeners, I should say, I do not look like Tafarel. But he was a goalie. He's the one who saved Brazil, basically, from Italy.
Why they call you that if you don't look like him? Just
because of the hair, I guess. It was all crazy at the time, and it looked like I was a goalie, and I was white.
No, you don't look any like not even the hair. He's blonde. Like
he's bald.
He's bald.
Yeah, he was definitely bald in '94 too. So I don't know. I don't get it. But that definitely was my nickname. I've had other nicknames, but
at the gym it was Tafarel.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Here's a picture. You see that? So that's kind of how my hair was back then. Or listeners, you can't see it, but
look it up.
Look for the one where he has a lot of hair.
That's or just some, really. Or,
yeah.
So you trained with Kimura, and then when you trained out here, you said you did jits too?
Yeah, well, I trained a little bit here. I trained with Factum MMA. Mm-hmm. I only trained with them for a few months. They were pretty good, but I wanted something more specialized, and they were more of an MMA gym than like a jiu-jitsu gym, or it would be great if I was wanting to get into wrestling, and I primarily love jiu-jitsu. I did Muay Thai as well. I did Muay Thai in Brazil with De La Riva.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's familiar to anybody, but worked with that team for a little bit. They were good. It was cool, but not my passion.
And so you said that you want to do competitions and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, I actually think I got Paul on board, too, by the way.
Really?
So if we can get, like, a group going for Absolute, just because because I was telling him it's, like, something that he could do outside of golf when golf season's over. Because I feel like, and he kind of, like, looked at me weird. I can't remember if I said it on this podcast either, but I liken jiu-jitsu in as far as, like, combat sports. I compare it also to, like, golf. Because you can get better at it the longer that you go just by learning, like, little things here and there. Like, it's not necessarily a lot of the time, especially with jiu-jitsu, that the most athletic is going to win. You can compete in jiu-jitsu for a long, long time. There's weird things that you can't, like, if you wear out your joints, obviously, but, like...
But even then, you can do some damage even without your joints, you know? In Brazil, what got me interested at first in doing just Brazilian jiu-jitsu was my dad was working with this black belt in Brazil. They were working on starting, he was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, on starting a gym in downtown Recife, which is in the northeast, where I'm from in Brazil. And it was like in this big abandoned, it was basically an abandoned building, and it was on the top floor. Super sketchy, weird elevator, so that's why we ended up not going that route.
My gym was attached to a Little Caesars. That sounds way more awesome. Yours does, not mine.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It overlooked the whole city, and you could see the beach and everything. It was beautiful. But the problem was, getting up there, I always felt like I was going to, you know, get raped or something. So it was scary. But this guy, he was 100, or he was just about to turn 100, and he was rolling with dudes that were like 30, 20, and he was winning. So that's what really got me interested in doing jiu-jitsu. He worked for in Brasilia with the president and are comparable to like the Secret Service, if you were to compare it to the Secret Service in Brazil. So,
which I thought, by the way, and I think it was Justin, I have to go back and listen to previous episodes, that propagated that myth that Damian Maia was part of the Secret Service or the military or something. That's not, because I asked you that and you're like, nah, I don't think so.
No, there's another fighter in Brazil that fought in the UFC who looked a lot like him. That's true. It sounds weird, but I can't remember his name.
Listen,
but he was for the BOPI. So that's like the elite troop. I don't know if it's a movie too. The elite troop, really good movie.
I haven't heard of it.
It talks about like the drugs. It's an elite troop that basically goes into the favela because normal police won't go into the favela.
Mm-hmm. So everybody, if Justin makes mention of Damian Maia being in the secret police, don't say anything to him. Let him just continue saying it and just laugh at him. He might not have said it. I don't know. I can't remember who told me that. But
he'll act like he did.
I mean, you can't separate MMA from – or Brazil from MMA or MMA from Brazil. Like they pretty, and I feel like there's kind of a three-horse race, but for the most part it's a two-horse race in countries represented by MMA, just because there's such a here, and then also in Brazil, one, because there's such a strong wrestling base, and then two, just because we're uber competitive, and it's the same thing with Brazil. Like, you guys got a hold of it so early and just revolutionized it, which we've talked about before in private. But I don't know. I love Brazil, man. They could go there like every other card, and I'd be super happy. Like, I want to actually go down there and go to a card because I think it'd be insane. I don't know.
It would be crazy. Yeah. Yeah. We have some in some smaller cards in my hometown.
I would make sure that I knew that if it was against an American, that I knew the American was going to lose.
Yeah, that would be smart. Yeah, wear a Brazilian shirt that day. I think there's a problem with Brazil right now with MMA. I don't know if you've noticed, but we haven't been producing a lot lately.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring it up, maybe, because there's a lot of fighters that are leaving Brazil, and they don't think that they can actually, I don't know, and I was going to ask you if you think it's just infrastructure, if it's opportunity, like what it is, like why, I didn't know if I was going to bring it up or not, just because time, we're limited, because I had a soccer game coming up, but why do you think that is?
I think it's a mix of a lot of different things. One is, I think Brazilians have the tendency of thinking that there's something better somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's one problem. Like, you get guys like Cigano, for example, JDS, who was doing great when he was training in Brazil, and he trained with Novo União in Brazil, and he was undefeated at the time, and I believe, and I could be wrong on this, correct me if I'm wrong, but he won the belt against Cain Velasquez when he was training in Brazil with Novo União, and that was his, you know, that was his spot.
I'm pretty sure that was like in 2012, right? The first Fox card.
I think it was before 2012.
The first fight was the first. I can't remember. I'll look it up real quick. The Fox card. So yeah.
And then basically what happened was he left after that and went to American Top Team, and American Top Team's amazing, but home's home. And when something's working, I say don't change it. Just keep
2011. A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's one problem. JDS went, and his style changed. I don't know if you've noticed. He's super tentative now. Even in this last...
You were pissed because he didn't throw a punch.
He didn't throw a punch against Stipe.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of fights where he did that as well, where he puts himself in a corner, and then he ends up, you know, losing.
But, I mean, like, Henan Barão, like, he always stuck with Novo União. Like, he... Yeah. And then he just recently left because he doesn't think that, like, the opportunity's there. So you said, like, one, yeah, like... They think that there's something better elsewhere, and there maybe is or maybe isn't. But, like, why would – because that's my favorite – that was, like, my favorite gym forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I – apart from having the Jordan Smith on, who was at Black House, like, I couldn't care less about Black House. I don't really love Leota. I like him as, like, as part of the light heavyweight division and everything, but, like, I don't really care that much. Anderson Silva, I like, again, is kind of like a piece in the UFC, but he was never my favorite fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I liked more Novo União, like, as far as, like, gyms, and then – I followed that gym more than I did even any gym up here, other than my own gym, which only had like a handful of people that were actually making moves and stuff. But
yeah.
Why do you think Henan Barão would leave Kimura or Novo União at this point?
So I think for him, and again, I don't think the only problem is the same problem that, you know, JDS had. I think infrastructure, I think... getting to a point where, you know, you have to keep evolving, and you do have to look for other things. I definitely think that that also comes into play, but your home gym should be your home gym. For Henan Barão, I think he lost twice to Dillashaw, and he didn't see a way out of the skid that he got into, because he lost twice to Dillashaw, and then he lost to Stevens, which was a pretty close fight.
Mm.
And a lot of people could say it could have went either way, but I think he just got tired of losing, and he thought that the biggest thing was he needed to make a big change, a drastic change.
And see, my philosophy as far as, like, I mean, I'm no expert, or I would have started my own gym and we'd be world champions, but like, it seems to me more, the better idea is to bring somebody into your gym. To bring in new elements to it than going and kind of reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
The people that I think that have actually been good for the longest usually stay with their TriStar, Greg Jackson, Longo, Sarah. Like, I mean, I don't think Frankie's been there forever, but he's had the same people around him for the majority.
Yeah.
That's why Black Zillions, they came and went. I feel like, because that was like all just transplants. Everybody came in, but then they all just.
Yeah, they just left.
Doesn't exist at all anymore, right? Like, Vitor's gone. Yeah. Johnson's gone.
It went bankrupt.
Yeah.
So.
And they even had the UFC backing. They even had that one tough one that they did. Yeah. And I don't know, like, that Black House, too, like, I feel like it would just be better, like, to maybe travel around a little, but not, like, stay true to your gym.
I like the idea of having another coach or someone else come in and help out with your striking or your jiu-jitsu or whatever it is, especially once you've reached a certain level where there's no one in your gym that could help you, you know, to reach the next level because you've plateaued at a certain point. Because I do believe that you can plateau as well.
Yeah.
But the problem is if you go, like a lot of people will go to a different gym and then this gym says you can't move your feet this way. When someone, you know, throws a jab, this is what you should do. And then the other gym says the exact opposite. All of a sudden, when the time for your fight comes, everything comes at once and you don't understand direction anymore. Because yeah, you have your, you know, your muscle memory telling you to do one thing, and then you have your coach telling you to do a different thing. So, I think that's where a lot of people get into some problems.
The other thing, and I don't think this is just this is more speaking to Barão, not so much like Brazil, but to me, it's like sometimes people just lose too. Like you can go on a skid, like Robbie Lawler, like. Who thought Robbie Lawler was going to become a champion and just go on a tear? Like, he was like, no, he was in the dregs, like, get dropped from the UFC. Verdum for the same, like, the
Eddie
same thing.
Eddie Alvarez,
like,
a lot of these guys.
Yeah, and it's like, MMA is such a knife edge of a sport. Like, you can win. We have a ton of fighters that have just barely won by split decision a ton of times. And if you look at their record, it's like they won four of their last five. Three were by split decision. They could have just as easily lost those fights. And, I mean, that's just one example. But, I mean, even as far as finishes, a lot of the time, like, you could have finished somebody just as easily as get finished if you go out and just start, like, throwing and just throwing, like, bombs and stuff like that. But especially if you're at the highest level, like, your top five, like Barão. So I think a lot of it also is just it happens. Like, you played the odds and you lost a few times.
And I think, too, once you do lose, the confidence factor, the, oh, crap, I lost. What am I going to do to come back? And then you try to prove yourself, and then you feel a lot of extra pressure because you lost, you know, the last fight, and or you lost the last two. Barão, if we use him as an example, you know, I felt like a lot of pressure was put on him at that point, and he felt like he needed to blame it on something. And I think a lot of fighters, they tend to do that. They put their blame on something, so they'll use their. Oh, I've been stuck at this place and I've plateaued, and so they won't make the move, or they will make a move because of that. So.
And I think, and maybe to a certain extent, I also think it's the people coming up. If you don't have, like, I think they all got good because they were all like the new crop coming up at the time. Like you had Aldo, you had Barão, and like Alpha Male, for example, like they just. Like, they kind of stick to, like, two weight classes, and they just have murderers coming up all the time, so it's pushing the guys above them. Like, they lost Dillashaw, and then Garbrandt was right there. Well, it was Faber, and then it was Dillashaw, and then it was Garbrandt. Like, and I think they're pushing the up-top guy. And I don't know if maybe Novo Nhau, like, it's the same thing as maybe, I don't know, maybe there's not guys coming up to the same level that are pushing the top guys. Or I have no idea. Let's get into a little bit the retreat. We'll start with Cajun Johnson. We've talked about it like at length this podcast. I bring it up all the time because I hate it. Do you think that at this point the Reebok deal has got to be like they can't renew it, or do you think that like the UFC, it's too good of like a deal for them and they have to, as far as like having a fiduciary responsibility, or like what's your take on like the whole Reebok deal in general?
I mean, I think for the UFC, it's definitely a good deal for the UFC. They wouldn't have done it if it wasn't a good deal. On the fighter end, it definitely isn't a good deal. And I think that's top to bottom.
Do you like more uniformity? like, do you like seeing all the fighters that have kind of the same outfit, kind of like going to, like, soccer or football or really anything, like, sports-related?
Yeah, I mean, I actually do like a little bit of the uniformity. I think there's different standards that you can put, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily coming from one brand, but have one length of short that you can wear, two length of shorts you can wear. You have two options for shorts, something like that. But the person who provides those shorts, I don't think that matters on the uniformity side of things. So I do like a little bit of that, because you can kind of know what to expect, you know, and you don't have to worry about. I don't know if you remember. I forgot who the fighter was who wore the basically a man thong.
Mm-hmm. You got knocked down like 13 seconds. And yeah. Dana gave the guy a bonus. Yeah.
There's been a couple fighters who've worn weird things like that. I think John Fitch has done that a couple of different times. Mm-hmm. There was a welterweight who did that. Maybe it was John Fitch. Maybe it was someone else. But a lot of things that were ridiculous, and it looks stupid for people who love MMA, and then you're trying to bring someone else. So, hey, this is what MMA is, and then you got a guy wearing a thong and getting knocked out in 13 seconds. I don't think that appeals to the mass. So I like the uniformity, and I like that that gives it more of an official sport sense, you know.
And you let me know if you disagree. I assume I don't really understand. As far as like fans go, I don't really know how there's a way to disagree with this, but I feel like best case scenario is fine, like sponsor with Reebok for like the outerwear, like for weigh-ins and for the actual fight, but let them put whatever the hell they want behind them.
Oh,
with
yeah.
reason, like you have to have a certain amount of, like, you can't put, like, I guess anything up there, but for the vast majority, like, they should be able to get whatever sponsors they want to put in right before the fight. I still don't understand why they can't do that. Put Condom Depot back there. We miss Condom Depot.
Yeah, have the... Dude, they don't do banners anymore, do
no,
they?
No,
yeah, so...
They won't let them sponsor anybody other than Monster. What else? There's, like, three that you can get. Reebok, Monster, and one other one.
There's, like, the Monster headphones, too. Not just Monster.
Oh,
energy
right.
Energy drink.
Right.
So...
Beats.
Yeah, I think, especially the banner, like, have the banner do whatever they want, you know, be whatever they want. Reebok isn't throwing money at fighters like other sponsors are willing to do. Especially, I think it hurts especially the people that aren't ranked, because
mm-hmm.
they're not getting money.
Well, and that's the thing, is, like, everybody made a big deal of Rory deciding to not take big sponsors, and because he wanted to get the right sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
For Bellator, but did you hear how much he made in his last fight?
I didn't know.
It was like $400,000.
But he made a ton of money from what I just saw not too long ago. After everything, it was one of his biggest payouts.
Apparently, for the Paul Daly fight, he made $400,000, and then if he actually gets a good sponsor, he's maybe looking over $500,000.
Hmm.
Like that's. I just feel like they have to do something. Like, even if they're saying we can't have sponsors on the shorts, like, you don't want that for highlight reels for time and all eternity anymore,
yeah.
Fine. Like, I couldn't care less. But, like, I can't for the life of me understand why they wouldn't. And, I mean, I appreciate Cajun Johnson for talking about it. That's who kind of brought this all, again, to light. Mm-hmm. Because we were listening to the Ariel Helwani interview because he was talking about the Reebok rep saying that they only want winners and things like that, which is funny coming from Reebok, who...
Yeah.
Can't keep a sponsorship deal to save their lives, but other than the UFC.
Well, and most people don't even like Reebok. That's the other thing. When Reebok came out with the whole deal with sponsorship and Anderson Silva, I don't know if you remember Anderson Silva complaining about that, but he said, I'm not coming out to Reebok. I really like Nike.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked Nike as a kid. So and I liked Nike a lot better on Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Over Reebok. So, I mean, to start off, I definitely don't think they're a winner's brand. That's not one of those brands that you consider that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to force it into that,
mm-hmm.
that kind of brand.
Stick to freaking, what's that? What's the new workout stuff called? The CrossFit.
Stick
to CrossFit, Reebok.
Yeah.
You do you over there. Stop trying to force our fighters to wear your nonsense. If they want to do it in the cage, fine. But, like, let them still. One, I would say two things. One, they get their banner.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, like Anderson Silva, if you're going to force him to wear it, like give him his yellow shorts with his own brand mark. It doesn't have to be like a sponsor, but like his spider. Give him a spider. Put that on Anderson's ass, and we're good to go.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can put, like, even if it was Reebok gear, mm-hmm. they could still put a sponsor on there. Something that wasn't, like, Nike. You're not going to put Nike on a Reebok. But,
yeah.
But what are his other brands?
Burger King.
Wizard. The English school is one of his.
Burger King.
You know, you can put anything on those. Mm-hmm. So just put their sponsors on there. They make money off that. That's how they live.
If we're talking uniformity, I'm fine with them not putting their sponsors on there, but they should have something to represent them fight day. Mm-hmm. And
the, like, banner, there's got to be something.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be on them, but the banner seems like a fix-all. Like, I, for the life of me, I don't get it. the other big event, and we're going back to Brazil, the queen herself, Chris Cyborg,
okay, yeah,
punching Angela Magana in the face.
That was beautiful.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Everybody made it seem way worse than
it was. Oh, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
But it was hilarious.
Yeah.
You expect me? He just freaking punched her, dude.
Yeah, she has some vanity issues, I think. Cyborg.
Vanity, I take as, like, she is very vain. Yeah. I feel like she has a big heart, and she, like, when people make fun of her, like, it's not that she's vain, it's that she's very self-conscious.
Well, if you look at why she gets offended, not how, it's typically something based off appearance. Like Joe Rogan talking about how she looks like a man.
Mm-hmm.
She got pissed about that. She got upset about that.
You obviously speak Portuguese, so you know better than me. But for me, it just seems like she more gets it, – it's not so much that she gets mad. It seems more like she gets her feelings hurt.
Yeah, she definitely gets her feelings hurt.
So it's like – it's not –
she's sensitive to those things.
And that's the thing. It's more like she feels like she's getting bullied more – because, like, mm-hmm. vanity, I would think more like who's a vain, like Paige Van Zandt's maybe more into vanity. Like, she's actually into, like, exactly how she looks. But, like, Cyborg, it just seems like she wants people to not focus at all on how she looks. Like, just focus on me as a fighter and what I do in the cage. Like, don't make fun of me and call me Jigsaw from Saw.
That was pretty good, though. I'll give
you. It was pretty good.
Well, and what I'm saying is just, I think the things that she gets offended for
mm-hmm.
aren't when someone complains about her fighting,
mm-hmm.
her fighting style or her whatever, mm-hmm. how she talks. The people complain about her. It's when people offend her appearance,
mm-hmm.
say something about her appearance, which.
Can we just get her versus Gabby Garcia already?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Who do you think would win?
Roids included.
Yes. Yes.
I think Cyborg would annihilate Garcia.
Even if it went to the ground?
Yeah.
Mm.
Cyborg's good, man. Cyborg's
as good as Gabby?
I mean. I don't know, both of them roided out. Mm-hmm. That's a different story. So
you still have to have a weight class. You can't be like Gabby get to 270.
No, I know for sure. Like, let's do
Brock Lesnar, Gabby's not invited.
Let's do 155.
Fine with me.
155, both roided out. I think Cyborg wins. I don't think it gets to the ground. I don't think Gabby Garcia.
I think it gets to the ground. Let's get that happening. I don't know.
How's Gabby Garcia's wrestling?
Just black
and
belt.
Her takedown. She's not a black belt in wrestling.
And she is in jiu-jitsu. You still have to take people down.
But I think Cyborg is a black belt, too.
That's a different level, though.
Or she's a brown belt.
That's a different level, though. It's like saying, like, if you're talking Nog, it's like you're Nogueira versus who's another black belt that's a heavyweight.
So, I mean, that reminds me more of, like, if you look at Verdum versus Overeem back in the day, or you look at, not the first fight, by the way, we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the second fight that Verdum lost. But even some of Verdum's old pride fights,
mm-hmm.
when he was trying to pull guard, he was world class already jiu-jitsu, but he still lost those fights because he couldn't take people down.
Actually, I'm 100% changing my point of view on this. No, yeah, Cyborg would win. Did you watch the Gabby Garcia versus the old lady?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cyborg wins.
I win that argument there. Yeah. That's an easy one. You brought it up, though.
I meant to get more into, like, what's current events, but honestly, there's not a lot going on this week. We would like to have you on more often to actually talk about current events when there's stuff going on. We have to go play soccer balls, though. Two games.
Oh, yeah. Doubleheader.
Are you in shape? You gonna be sucking wind?
I'll definitely be sucking wind.
So you always say you're out of shape, but I feel like you're just as in shape as I am, because when we get out there, you're run just as much as
I'm not in soccer shape, though. You've been playing for.
That's the thing. Is like I play all the time.
I broke my foot and haven't been playing since I broke my foot.
See, that's the thing. Is I felt I forgot that you did that. Yeah, well, like we're. I feel like we still run just as much. Like I'm quote unquote in soccer shape, but you're not, and you still can keep up with me. Whatever, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We're gonna have two games right now. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get to know Danny. He will be on with me and Justin again. We actually have three mics, so.
Oh yeah.
But we're not gonna pull punches about Brazilians, Danny. We're gonna go
in. Fine, yeah.
We're gonna go in on you.
That's okay.
We love Brazilians. That's not true. All right. See everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.